The asteroid was supposed to be a celestial spectacle, nothing more than homework and something exciting to witness. Miranda and her family gathered outside their Pennsylvania home that night, joining neighbors to watch what scientists had assured was a harmless astronomical event. But something went terribly wrong. The moon visibly shifted position, appearing dramatically larger in the sky. Panic erupted as people screamed and prayed. Within hours, news trickled in of massive tsunamis devastating coastal cities worldwide. The Statue of Liberty washed out to sea. Cape Cod submerged. Miami devastated. Hawaii reportedly gone. By the dawn's early light, Miranda thought grimly, wondering how many people who had sung those words yesterday were dead today. The asteroid, denser than scientists had calculated, had knocked the moon closer to Earth, forever altering life as they knew it. Miranda's mother sprang into action with remarkable foresight, handing her daughter $500 and revealing her plan. They were going to stock up on supplies before it was too late. The supermarket was mayhem, with people fighting over items and throwing cash at terrified cashiers. In those first chaotic hours, Miranda witnessed her mother transform from an ordinary divorced mom into a fierce protector, determined to keep her children alive through whatever was coming. Within days, modern life began to crumble. Schools closed, then partially reopened, electricity became sporadic, and food shortages emerged as supply chains collapsed. The president announced tsunamis, floods, and countless deaths, warning of worse to come. When Matt returned from college, he organized their stockpiled food, fixed bikes for transportation, and reminded Miranda they were witnessing history where anyone could become a hero. Summer brought brutal heat waves intensified by limited electricity. Volcanic eruptions worldwide filled the atmosphere with ash, threatening crops with extreme cold. Food distribution became irregular, with state troopers overseeing collection points where households received small bags of supplies. As winter arrived early, the family consolidated into the sunroom heated by their wood stove. The dining room became firewood storage. Natural gas ended by October, affecting cooking and hot water. They melted snow for drinking and washing, with cleanliness becoming a luxury of the past. Miranda's friends coped differently with the crisis. Megan turned to religion, dismissing worldly concerns, while Sammy dated frantically to maintain normalcy. Miranda struggled to find her own path in a world where survival had replaced everyday priorities. Amid hardship, Miranda formed a connection with Dan. They shared moments at Miller's Pond, where she swam to escape heat and hunger. When Dan left town, their goodbye was bittersweet. "We can go to the prom next year, if there is a world." Tragedy struck when Megan died from starvation, encouraged by her church's emphasis on fasting. Megan's mother took her own life shortly after. Visiting Megan's ransacked home, Miranda reflected in her friend's room, resolving that starvation was Megan's choice, not hers. In this diminished world, Miranda realized her survival itself had become an act of love, the only gift she had left to give her mother. Food rationing intensified, with the family implementing fasting days before reducing to one meal daily. Miranda's mother often sacrificed her portions for the children. Miranda's weight dropped from 118 to 96 pounds, though not yet at starvation level. Despite hardships, they maintained normalcy through education. Miranda studied history, Johnny learned algebra with Matt's help, Matt read philosophy, and their mother studied French. They played Scrabble and chess alongside poker, and even sang together despite lacking talent. For Christmas, they exchanged modest gifts from Mrs. Nesbitt's house. Miranda received a pink diary with lock and key, Johnny a handheld baseball game, and Matt a shaving kit. They shared a small feast of broth, linguine, string beans, and wine. These moments of connection became crucial to their emotional survival. Miranda reflected, "I never knew I could love so deeply or sacrifice so willingly until this year." By January, volcanic ash blocked sunlight and temperatures plummeted. Snow confined the family to their sunroom, with skiing their only occasional escape. Disaster struck when Miranda's mother and brother Johnny developed high fevers. Matt tried helping, but soon collapsed too, leaving Miranda as the sole caretaker. For days, she fought to keep them alive, administering medicine, reducing fevers with sponge baths, and spoon-feeding them broth. Despite exhaustion, she managed bedpans, maintained the wood stove, and kept the household functioning. The crisis worsened when the wood stove backfired, filling the room with smoke. Miranda moved everyone to the kitchen floor and activated the furnace's battery backup. Discovering snow had fallen into the chimney, wetting the log, she dried the stove by burning paper and textbooks until the smoking stopped. As her family recovered, Miranda's mother thanked her privately, expressing pride and acknowledging they owed her their lives, a turning point where they became two women facing impossible odds together. As food supplies dwindled, the family faced difficult ethical dilemmas. Miranda's mother began eating every other day while insisting her children eat daily, later asking Miranda to occasionally skip lunch so Matt and Johnny could eat. When Miranda calculated their remaining supplies, she realized they had maybe 2 weeks of food if only John and Matt ate. The unspoken truth became clear. Her mother believed Johnny, the youngest and strongest, had the best chance of surviving. Miranda made her own sacrifice, leaving for town to give Johnny a better chance. The journey was grueling. She collapsed multiple times, hallucinating. In town, she met Mr. Danworth, a postal worker who knew Matt. Learning that mail delivery was resuming with food distribution, she begged him to help her family. Miranda returned home against odds. The next morning, Mr. Danworth arrived with 10 bags of food, promising their regular 4 bags the following Monday. Though electricity remained unreliable and they had no word about their father, they now had food and hope. Throughout their ordeal, each family member found purpose amid survival. Miranda's mother protected her children, Matt found meaning in physical labor and philosophy, and Johnny evolved from baseball dreams to contributing to family survival. Miranda transformed from typical teenage concerns to appreciating life's small pleasures: pineapple juice, wood stove warmth, Horton's purring, and clean clothes. Her understanding of sacrifice deepened significantly. Their elderly neighbor, Mrs. Nesbitt, demonstrated dignity by preparing for her own death, giving Miranda instructions about her body and claiming useful items, showing how to maintain humanity in desperate times. The story transforms ordinary teenage life into survival struggles. Miranda's former worries about skating lessons gave way to celebrating found chocolate chips or having enough water for laundry. She evolved from a somewhat self-centered teenager into a resilient young woman capable of extraordinary sacrifice. On Christmas Eve, they experienced community when neighbors came caroling. As they joined the group singing through snow-covered streets, Miranda realized a profound truth: "I'm 17 and alive, and we have food." In their new reality, existence itself became something to celebrate.